Thank you for your presence today. Thank you, God, that this is a new year. And this morning, Lord, we turn our eyes upon you. And we focus, Lord, with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength on what you are saying to us individually and what you are saying to the church. Thank you for your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. This morning, we are going to share about shelter in place. And every year, Christian International asks us to send a prophetic word. And so today we're going to take a look at the first section of the word that the Lord gave to me. And it goes like this. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say to the church, you are my beloved. I am with you always. Draw close to me and I will keep you from the snare of the enemy. Over the last few months, I have heard the phrase shelter in place several times on the news. And I heard the Lord say to the church that we are sheltered safely in him. Psalm 61, 2 through 3 says, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee when my heart is overwhelmed. Lead me to the rock that is higher than I, for thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. I hear the Lord say that he is our true shelter and he is our safe place, shelter in him. I looked up to see what the CDC says about sheltering in place, and their definition is it means to take immediate shelter where you are, whether you're at home, work, school, or in between. It may also mean seal the room. In other words, take steps to prevent outside air from coming in. This is because local authorities may instruct you to shelter in place if chemical or radiological contaminants are released into the environment. It is important to listen to TV or radio to understand whether the authorities wish you to merely remain indoors or to take additional steps to protect yourself and your family. Shelter in place. Here's a story that I read about, and it's about a hurricane that was approaching, and people were told to shelter in place. As the hurricane quickly approached a small coastal town, all the people had hurried to the town's shelter. They were huddled together in the dark, with the winds howling, sheets of rain beating down, and the door of the shelter just about to rattle off its hinges. Everyone in the shelter had their eyes fixed on the door, because the group knew that if it were to blow off, that everyone would be sucked out of the shelter by the hurricane. And the town's elderly pastor stood up in their midst and began to pray with great oratorical efforts, just crying out to the Lord. He said, send us the spirit of the children of Israel. Lord, send us the spirit of the children of Moses. Lord, send us the spirit of the children of the promised land. Amen. And at the end of the prayer, an old man who was not very polished in his speaking stood up and said, Lord, don't send nobody. You come yourself. This ain't no job for children. Amen. I don't know if you can relate to that, but I can. Because there are times in my life when I desperately needed God and God alone. Life is filled with problems, and some are great and some are small. It has its twists and its turns, and sometimes we end up feeling helpless and desperate, and we need a shelter that is safe and secure. This last week, I heard a new term that I hadn't heard before, and the term is jigsaw Christians. And the person that there are a lot of jigsaw Christians in the world today, because when they're faced with problems, they go to pieces. I had never heard that before. But when we look at our problems and we don't look at the problem solver, we do go to pieces. And when you think about it, when things go to pieces, when you let it go to pieces, it's a lot of work to get that all put back together again, isn't it? Wouldn't it just be easier if we just shelter in the Lord and lean on him and trust in him to work it out instead of allowing ourselves to go to pieces? So we're going to take a look today at Psalm 91, verses We're going to go through the psalm, but we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. Whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. There are three key words: shelter, refuge, and fortress. When we have a shelter, we shelter in place, right? We can get to that place and we hide away in the shelter. A refuge is a place to run to for safety. God is our refuge. We can run to Him for safety, and He's our fortress. When you think about these huge fortresses that have been built, they are a place of protection. And God is also a fortress for us. And so the psalmist found in God a hiding place, a safe place, a resting place from the trials and the troubles and temptations and the terror in this world. The scripture in verse 1 says, whoever dwells in the shelter of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. So we have some instruction in this verse. As we look at God's words, we find that we have instructions, and then following the instructions is usually a promise. And so the instruction is to dwell. It's to dwell in the shelter of the Most High. To dwell is to sit down, to remain, to inhabit in the shelter of the Most High. And then the promise is that we'll be able to rest. We all like to rest, right? Right now, Pastor Nancy's doing some rest to recover from her surgery. And we all need rest at times for our body to recover, for our soul to recharge. But to rest is to stop. And in the Hebrew, it actually means to stay permanently. It's a place to be, to rest in His shelter, to remain, to dwell, to abide. In the New Central Version of the Bible, Psalms 91:1 says, those who go to God Most High for safety will be protected by the Almighty. So we can take refuge in the Lord. In Psalm 5:11, it says, but let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy. And spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt in you. Let's read that together. It's a powerful promise. But let all who take refuge in you rejoice. Let them ever sing for joy, and spread your protection over them, that those who love your name may exalt you. I want to share a story from one of the journals I was reading. And it's a story about a believer named Frederick Nolan. And he was fleeing from his enemies during a time of persecution in North Africa. And he was being pursued by them over the hills and the valleys. And there was just really no place for Frederick to hide. And he fell exhausted into a little wayside cave that he saw. And he was expecting his enemies to find him at any time as he sat in the back of this cave. And while he was waiting there for death, he was looking, he could see the front of the cave, and he saw a spider begin to spin a web at the cave opening. And when the pursuers got to the cave, they wondered whether or not he was inside the cave. But when they saw the spider web, they thought there is no way he could be in there, because the spider web would be broken and all mangled up. And so they didn't go in. And he was sitting in there thanking God. And when he told his story, he said the Lord showed him that where God is, a spider's web is like a wall. Where God is not, a wall is like a spider's web. We are sheltered and protected by the Lord Almighty. In 1 John 5:18, it says, we know that everyone who has been born of God does not keep on sinning, but he who was born of God protects him, and the evil one does not touch him. God is our true shelter. We can run to Him and be safe. And He spreads His protection over us, just like the spider spread his web across that cave opening. Seems like such a simple task for a spider, but it was actually what saved the man's life. Proverbs. Our Psalms 91:2 says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Proverbs 29:25 says, the fear of man lays a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord is safe. He is a shelter to hide in. He's a refuge to run to, and He's a fortress of protection for us. I have a story from Campus Crusade for Christ. And in 1960, the Mau Mau uprising gripped Kenya. And during that time, missionaries, Matt and Laura Higgins, had to drive through hostile territory on their way to Nairobi, well aware that they had met violent deaths at the hands of the Mau Mau terrorists in that area. And after dark, about 17 miles from Nairobi, their Land Rover they were driving failed. And Matt tried in vain to fix the vehicle, but he couldn't. And so they were forced to put the windows up, lock the doors, and pray for safety. They actually awoke safely and repaired the car the next day and traveled on to Nairobi. And some days later, they heard an interesting story from an individual who was in contact with the terrorist groups. And as Matt and Lori had slept that night, three terrorists had come upon them, and they intended to kill them. Suddenly, though, the terrorists had seen 16 strong men surrounding the car, and they fled in fear. And Matt and Laura were really puzzled about the identity of 16 men until they returned to America several weeks later and heard this testimony from a friend. On the exact day this happened, on March 23rd, God burdened my heart for you. I called the men at our church, and 16 of us met together for emergency prayer on your behalf. This is written from Bill Bright on how you can pray with confidence. This is an example of how God uses the church and what a difference it makes when we pray. 16 men took time out on March 23rd. They weren't sure why they were praying, except for they were praying for this missionary couple in Africa. And look what God did. Look what God did. He is our protector. He's our deliverer. He spreads His wings over us, however He plans to do it. Supernaturally, they saw 16 men standing there, and they thought, we're not going close to that car. They were probably armed and dangerous in the spirit. Because think about what we look like, church, in the spirit, when we're praying with the armor of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Psalm 141:9 says, keep me from the snares they have laid for me and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets while I escape safely. We are kept safe by Almighty God, because He is our deliverer. Psalm 91:3, surely He will save you from the fowler's snare and from the deadly pestilence. Psalm 34:17, the righteous cry out and the Lord hears him. He delivers them from all their troubles. You see, God's our deliverer. He's our deliverer. When we cry to Him, He hears our cry. You know, it might take a little bit longer than what we would like for things to take. For those of you that are walking through trials right now, it takes a little bit longer. than I was talking with Brene this morning. She's been going through tests. They've been trying to figure out what's going on with her. And I said, honey, it's just taking longer than you'd like it to. But you know what? God's got a plan. God's hand is upon her life. And the Lord is healing her. And he's at work. Because he is in each one of our lives. It just sometimes takes longer than we want it to. But the promise is that when the righteous cry out, the Lord hears them. So our instruction would be, cry out to God. Cry out to God, and he will hear you. And then what happens? He delivers us from a few of our troubles. Is that what it says? He delivers us from all of our troubles. So as believers, we don't need to fear. And we really do not have any grounds to fear what is coming upon the earth. And we see terrorism breaking out on every side. And violent acts covering the earth. But we do not need to fear. As long as we can draw close to God. Draw close to God, he'll draw close to you. We may not know how long the trouble's going to last, but we do know that God is with us in the depths of the trouble. Amen? Amen? Amen. God is eternal, omnipotent, omniscient. He's ever present, and he's our refuge, and he is our deliverer. Somebody shout hallelujah. I'm preaching myself happy up here. 1 Corinthians 10:13 tells us, no temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind. And God is faithful, and he will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it. I like what Gerald Mann said. He said, no rut is so deep you can't leave it. Sometimes you feel like you get stuck in a rut. I've heard the definition of a rut is an open-ended grave. But there is no rut so deep you can't leave it. No dream is so lost you can't retrieve it. No pain is so great you can't endure it. No sin is so bad God can't cure it. Amen. The Lord is my shelter. Psalm 91:4. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and your rampart. In the National Geographic magazine several years ago, they provided some pictures. And one of the pictures really demonstrated this picture in 91:4 of God's wings. I'm going to read it to you. After a forest fire in Yellowstone National Park, forest rangers began their trek up the mountain to assess the inferno's damage. And one ranger found a bird, literally petrified in ashes, perched like a statue on the ground at the base of a tree. And it was an eerie sight, and he said he felt somewhat sickened by it. And so he took a stick and he knocked the bird over. And when he struck it, three tiny little chicks scurried from under their dead mother's wings. The loving mother, keenly aware of the impending disaster, had carried her offspring to the base of the tree and had gathered them under her wings. And instinctively, knowing that the toxic smoke would rise, she could have flown to safety and had refused to abandon her babies. When the blaze had arrived and the heat had singed her small body, the mother had remained steadfast, because she had been willing to die so that those under the cover of her wings would live. Jesus Christ was willing to die that we could live. God covers us with his wings. Colossians 3:3 says, for you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. So there's a death that comes to our sinful life, and we become hidden in Christ. We are in Christ. He is covering us. In Him we live, we move, and we have our very being. Psalm 119:114 says, "You are my refuge and my shield. I put my hope in your word." Where do we put our hope? In the word of God. In the word of God. In His promises. His promises are true. "The Lord is my peace." Psalm 91:5 through 6. "You will not fear the terror of night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilence that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday." The peace that Jesus gives is not the absence of trouble, but is rather the confidence that He is with us. "You are my refuge, my hiding place, my shield. I have put my hope in your word." We do not need to fear. We are not slaves of fear. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. So what God speaks to us today, He's speaking to us as children. Our Heavenly Father is talking to us through His word. And He is speaking life and hope to us and peace. From a book called A Wardrobe from the King, there is this story. Long ago, a man sought the perfect picture of peace. Not finding one that satisfied, he announced a contest to produce this masterpiece. And the challenge stirred the imagination of artists everywhere, and paintings arrived from everywhere. And finally, the great day of revelation arrived. The judge uncovered one peaceful scene after another while viewers clapped and cheered as they looked on. And the tension grew as it got down to just the last two pictures. And as the judge pulled the cover from one, a hush fell over the crowd. A mere smooth lake reflected lacy green birches under the soft blush of the evening sky. Along the grassy shore, a flock of sheep gazed undisturbed. And unquestionably, this was the winner. The man with the vision who called the contest said, "No, this is not the winner. There's one more." And he pulled the cover off, and the crowd just gasped in surprise, wondering, how could this be peace? It was a painting of a tumultuous waterfall cascading down a rocky precipice, and the crowd could almost feel its cold, penetrating spray. Stormy gray clouds threatened to explode with lightning, wind and rain in the mist of the thundering noises and bitter chill, and a spindly tree clung to the rocks at the edge of the falls. One of the branches reached out in front of the terrestrial waters as if foolishly seeking to experience its full power. And a little bird had built a nest in the elbow of that branch. Content and undisturbed in her stormy surroundings, she rested on her eggs. With her eyes closed and her wings ready to cover her little ones, she manifested peace that transcends all earthly turmoil. We can have peace in the midst of the storm because we have Christ in the midst of the storm, and Christ is our peace. Isaiah 26:3-4 says, "You keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord is an everlasting rock." The promise in that verse is, You keep him. God will keep you in perfect peace. And our instruction is to keep our mind on God. He'll keep us in peace if we can keep our mind on him and his promises. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. If we live in this world by our feelings and our emotions, then we are going to feel defeated, frustrated, upset. Life's not fair. How many of you have said that this week? That's not right. That's not justice. That's not fair. That's this world. That's this world. The world is not saved, okay? They don't know Jesus. They act like unsaved folks, right? What do we expect from them? It's like, I can't believe they did that. Well, what else would they do? They're not saved. They don't know the Lord. They have no hope. They have no hope. Second Thessalonians says, now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times in every way. The Lord be with you all. God's government is peace. And when we put ourselves under God's guidance and we align ourselves with God's government, we receive peace in the midst of this tumultuous world. There is a place of rest for us. There is a place of rest for your soul. Now, I know that we all go to work, we all work hard, and some people love work, some people try to figure out how to get out of work. Just depends on where the shoe fits, wear it, hallelujah. We get tired, but in the midst of all of that, we can have righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And this whole journey of life, as I've journeyed in life, I am convinced that it is learning how to do that every day. It just doesn't happen all at once. And some days are better than other days. But we are always looking for God in the midst of the situation and trusting in him. Life is full of ups and downs. I read this saying. It's anonymous. It says, faith came singing into my room, and other guests took flight. Fear and anxiety, grief and gloom sped out into the night. I wondered that such peace could be, but faith said gently, don't you see? They really cannot live with me. I like that. When we have faith, they really can't live with us. When you begin to speak the promises of God and you have faith in God's word and what he's spoken to you, they can't stay. The two do not mix. They don't mix. Let's go on. The Lord is my confidence. This is my last point. Psalm 91:7-8. 1,000 may fall at your right side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. Psalm 55:23, cast your cares on the Lord and he will sustain you. He will never let the righteous be forsaken. Aren't you thankful for that? He will never let us be forsaken. Faith is confidence in the rock of our salvation, for what he will do for us and what he does in us. Trusting in God. Psalm 32:10-11 says this. Many are the woes of the wicked, but the Lord's unfailing love surrounds the one who trusts in him. Rejoice in the Lord and be glad, you righteous. Sing, all you who are upright in hearts. God's unfailing love surrounds those who trust in him. Do you trust in him today? Yes. Are you trusting Him with this week coming up? Amen. I'm trusting Him to get me safe to South Carolina. I fly out at 6 o'clock tonight to go see Vanessa and the girls. And I'm trusting God that as I board that plane, He's going to get me to my connections, which are really short in Detroit. But praise God, He's got it all figured out, right? And I'm trusting in God to keep me safe. And I'm looking forward to a week with my girls. Amen. His love is unfailing. Think about that. Unfailing love. It never changes for you. And we all know that we can be really unlovable at times, right? Come on. Be honest. Don't ask your husband or your wife sitting next to you. I'm not saying nothing, Jason. That's a good time. You know, a wise man. It's unfailing. It never, ever changes. And it's always flowing to us. God's love. It's always coming towards us. Don't push it away. Just let it embrace your life. Bill Hybels wrote an illustration in his book, Too Busy Not to Pray. And he says this, sometimes you're in an airport, or sometime when you're in an airport, observe the difference between passengers who hold confirmed tickets and those who are standby. How many's ever flown standby? Woo-hoo. Yeah. So you know what we're talking about, huh? The ones with confirmed tickets sit around, read newspapers, chat with their friends, or sometimes they even lay down and sleep. The ones on standby, they hang around the ticket counter and pace back and forth. The difference is caused by the confidence factor. If you knew that in 15 minutes you would have to stand in judgment before the holy God and learn your eternal destiny, what would your reaction be? Would you smoke and pace? Or would you say to yourself, I don't know what God's going to say. Will it be welcome home, child? Or will it be depart from me, I never knew you? So where is your confidence today? Are you trusting in God? Have you received Him as your Lord and Savior? And is He number one in your life? We can put so many things before God, and we don't think we are, but we do. But the Lord said we're to have no other gods before Him. He is first in our life. And so as we enter this year, 2016, I encourage you, let the Holy Spirit just fill you with His peace and confidence, and just renew your trust in God and your focus. Our hope's in His Word. Our hope is in the promises of God. Our hope isn't in, oh, I hope the government changes, or I hope this law changes. You know, don't count on it. Don't get your expectations up too much there. True story. Our hope's in God. We are citizens of another kingdom. His government is a government of peace. And it will never end. So if His government is a government of peace, and we are citizens of that government, then we should be experiencing peace in this world. Is that right? Think about that. We should have peace. In the midst of all the chaos of the world, we can just relax in God and rest. That doesn't mean you don't have to work. The world does not owe you a living. Someone posted on Facebook, it was my cousin, she had this list, this ledger paper, And at the top it said, these are the things that you are entitled to. And it was blank. It's nothing on the list. Oh, and I reminded her, I said, you remember our mom singing, they think the world owes them a living. And it's funny because that mindset has been with people for years. It's just that crowd has grown. Yeah, it's been multiplied and reproduced, unfortunately. There's a large group. But in the midst of all of that, you know, we can talk about it, but the best thing to do is to pray about it and let it go. You know, we do what we can do, and we just got to let it go and trust God to do the rest. And remember, you're a citizen of another kingdom. We are in this world, but we are not of this world. And so the closer you get to God, the stranger the world looks to you. Is that true? Some of you are not. It just really, the closer you get to God, the things in this world look stranger and stranger to you. And you really don't want to have anything to do with them. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look forth in his wonderful face, and the things of this world will go strangely dim. Have they grown strangely dim? I pray the things of this world get dimmer and dimmer in your life this year because of the light of his glory and grace. So I'm going to share this word one more time, and we have a closing song that we will be listening to. I hear the Spirit of the Lord say, the church, you are my beloved. I am with you always. Draw close to me, and I will keep you from the snare of the enemy. I hear the Lord say to the church that we are sheltered safely in him. Psalm 61, 2 through 3. For the end of the earth, from the end of the earth will I cry unto thee. When my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. I hear the Lord say that he is our true shelter, and he is our safe place, shelter in him.